You know what I really like doing in life? I like surrounding myself with people that are smarter than me, and in particular, are experts in certain areas. That's exactly what BetQL does. Frankly, all of their apps, the RotoQL app, the SquadQL app, certainly the BetQL app. It's kind of like why I have Greg Cosell to break down the NFL tape. I've got Andrew Brandt for the business stuff. Steve Fezzik on Even Money for the gambling stuff, Evan Silva for fantasy, and of course here on the College Draft Podcast, the great Fran Duffy. You can't do it all. You need other people and other things to help you. That's what BetQL does. It's got that powerful algorithm that lets you know public betting trends. It also lets you go ahead and track all of your bets. And you can download it for free and use the promo code PODCAST to unlock your 3-day trial. It's betql.co and the promo code's PODCAST. Again, betql.co, promo code PODCAST.
Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast. Can you believe that the college football playoff rankings have already come out? That the games this weekend will be played in November? It's November football, it's week 10, and it's presented by betonline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1 now that you got a really good feel for these teams and feel comfortable placing some wagers. Fran, we made it to November already, man. It's kind of hard to believe.
The stakes are always highest in November, man. It's obviously always important September, October, but November is when the big boys come to play. So this is a really important time of the year.
Make sure you are following Fran on Twitter, at FDuffy3. If you're an Eagles fan, it's mandatory. If you listen to this podcast, mandatory. If you like college football or the draft at all, mandatory you follow Fran, at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, and if you want to be a cooler person in life, it's mandatory you follow me on Twitter. I legitimately feel bad for people that don't follow me on Twitter, as bad as that sounds. They're missing out on some really great stuff. At Ross Tucker NFL. Speaking of great stuff and speaking of Twitter, Fran, I could tell you were all over that Baylor-West Virginia game last Thursday night.
Yeah, I probably watched a little bit too much of that game. It was an ugly performance. Baylor could not get out of their own way early on. Their quarterback, Charlie Brewer, was benched at halftime. They were down 41-0 going into the locker room. Some people really like that junior wideout for Baylor, Denzel Mims. We've talked a lot recently about the senior, Jalen Hurd, but Mims was a second-team All-Big 12 pick last year. He's big. He's been a big-play guy for them over his career. So I studied Mims along with Hurd going into that game, and I struggled with Mims a little bit. My biggest concern with him was his inconsistencies at the catch point, particularly in the middle of the field, and that actually showed up in the game. He had one ball bounce off his hands that led to an interception. That was just one play in what was really just an ugly first half for Baylor. You had drops, sacks, turnovers, penalties on offense. It was ugly, and it wasn't better on defense either. West Virginia had 9 drives in the first half, Ross. They scored on 7 of them, and the other 2 were a missed field goal and a blocked field goal. So they really just kind of moved the ball at will. And the star for the show for them was David Sills, the wide receiver, the senior. We know how productive he's been. But on film, you see a big kid. I think he's got pretty good speed downfield. And the trait that impresses me most, which showed up in this game as well, was just how naturally he plays the ball in the air. He made one outstanding catch going up and over a DB, then later where he looked the ball in over his shoulder for a long touchdown. He's a really intriguing prospect in that he's only been playing wide receiver for a couple of years full time. The question with him will be his route running skills, especially coming from that offense and ability to work over the middle of the field. But there's a lot of raw ability there with Sills. He ripped it up in this game, and the Mountaineers won big on Thursday night. West Virginia fans had another reason to cheer later on Saturday when Texas went down to Oklahoma State. That was the big Saturday night game on ESPN last Saturday. Texas was down 31-14 at halftime. And credit the Horns, though, and the quarterback, Sam Ellinger. They fought back. Ellinger made some nice throws when they tried to come back. But the Cowboys, they ended up coming up with the win. Tylan Wallace, the sophomore wide receiver, he really stood out in this game. 10 for 222, two touchdowns. One of those touchdowns came on a play where he went up and over the star senior corner for Texas, Chris Boyd. And that is one of my concerns with Boyd on the outside, is that he's not going to win too many of those contested jump ball situations. But big win there for Oklahoma State. And then earlier in the day, we had a big battle in the SEC with Georgia and Florida. And the Tea Party was certainly closer than the final score would indicate. I know the final score was 36-17, but the Gators were only down by six with a big goal line stand late in the third quarter. So it was a tight game. You thought momentum might swing at that juncture, but the Dogs ended up coming out on top. DeAndre Swift, the sophomore running back for the Dogs, he looks so impressive. He's quick. He's competitive. I'm excited to study him this summer. He's got plenty of juice out of the backfield. The guy that had a bit of a coming out party in that game, though, was Jeremiah Holloman, the sophomore receiver for Georgia. We've talked a lot about how this Bulldogs receiving core might be one of the best in the country. We've got the senior Terry Godwin, who had a touchdown in the game as well, and that kind of served as the dagger for the Bulldogs. You've got the junior transfer from Cal, and Demetrius Robinson, who has got loads of talent. Mecole Hardman is explosive and can do a lot of different things. Riley Ridley, Calvin's little brother, is the guy a lot of people think could be a first or a second round pick down the road. A lot of people are really high on this group overall, but Holloman, 6'2", he's 200 pounds. He caught four passes for 48 yards and a pair of touchdowns down the left sideline. The tight end, Isaac Nada, actually flashed in this game as well. But, Kirby Smart was asked about Holloman after the game. The big receiver certainly earned it with that performance. It's just a really, really talented group of pass catchers surrounding Jake Fromm. And you pair that with that run game, and you could see why a lot of people still are really high and are still really bullish on this Dogs team as far as the playoffs are concerned. And then just a couple of really quick notes from the weekend, especially from the wide receiver position. Another big day for Stanford's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, oversized wideout. We've talked about him in the past. Senior went 10 for 111 yards, two touchdowns against Washington State. Look, I've got questions about his speed and his athleticism, but the guy can go up and win with ease. He's got some savvy as a route runner. He could be, if you really like him, a Devin Funchess type of receiver in the NFL with how he wins. Caden Smith, the talented tight end for Stanford, had a big game in that one as well, 9 for 112 and a touchdown. NC State goes down again, this time in a shootout with Syracuse, but the star of the day was the big wideout, Kelvin Harmon, a junior, 11 catches, 247 yards, two touchdowns, just a ridiculous day against the Orange. I still have yet to study Harmon. We talked about him in the summer, some people giving him kind of a poor man's Julio Jones comparison because of his size and athleticism profile. He's an interesting player. He's 6'3", 214, by far his most productive game of the year. He averaged over 22 yards per catch on 11 grabs. Just an unbelievable day. He is certainly a name to watch for sure. I know one game, Ross, I did not get to check out, but you saw Penn State, Iowa. I'm interested to get your thoughts on that one from the Big Ten.
Well, Fran, I talk about Penn State quite a bit because I do some Penn State stuff around here in Pennsylvania. So I've talked about their players quite a bit. There's actually a few guys on Iowa's team that I wanted to talk about. So, Fran, they don't have one good tight end. They have two good tight ends.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why they waited to throw the ball to Noah Fant, but Penn State really couldn't stop him. And they didn't throw it to him once in the first half, and then the second half, he was unstoppable, and really the only reason why he didn't even have bigger numbers, I don't know how much of the game you got a chance to see or even hear about, Fran. Nate Stanley was terrible. I mean, yeah. I kind of like him. I kind of think that I've seen him do some good things. He did not give Iowa a chance ultimately to win the game. They probably could have if he was even just decent, but I can remember, I think over the summer, you're not as high on Fant as other people are. I don't know what you've seen of Hockenson so far, but both of those guys, really athletic. I mean, I can't imagine there's a college football team with a better pair of tight ends than those guys.
Yeah, I mean, actually Hockenson stood out to me while watching Fant. I went in not knowing much about Hockenson, and he flashed on tape because of his abilities as a blocker, and that's where Fant kind of falls short. But look, Fant is a really natural pass catcher in terms of his ball skills. He did have some drops last year, so he plays the ball well in the air, and he looks natural. He's just got to be more consistent with just finishing at the catch point. But an athletic kid for sure. I think some teams are just going to view him and say, like, all right, what can we get out of him as a blocker? Because he's not the biggest kid. Does he show willingness? That's a little bit of a concern at times. I haven't watched him this year, his junior season, but going off of what I saw as a sophomore, there were questions from that regard. But anytime you're athletic at that spot, people are going to notice and people are going to try and, and add you to their football team because he brings that dimension that not a lot of tight ends can bring. So certainly an intriguing player.
The only other guy I wanted to mention, and I got to look up if he's a true freshman or a true sophomore, but he played in the Army Bowl either this past year or the year before that. It's a defensive lineman named A.J. Espinosa, and he's good. I mean, he made several plays in that Penn State-Iowa game, and I remember him. He was a five-star that went to Iowa because he's from Iowa. His dad played at Iowa, but everybody wanted him, Fran, and he could play anywhere. He is big and athletic, and he is what you're looking for as a D-end who can probably pass rush inside. That's another name to kind of get on your radar. And also, okay, if you haven't already gotten Dos Equis on your radar, I don't know why not. We got an email, Fran, from Mark Rathsom. He emailed me, ross@rostucker.com. And it was a picture of him drinking Dos Equis while he was eating Lantana hummus. And I loved it. I love when you guys take advantage of our sponsors like Dos Equis. We're about to talk about the college football playoff. They are actually the official beer sponsor of the college football playoff. So keep it in Terrasante this college football season. Anytime you drink Dos Equis, feel free to tweet at me or email it to me, whatever, because they're also the official sponsor, a beer sponsor of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Drink Dos Equis responsibly. Imported 2018, imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. Speaking of the college football playoff, Fran, what do you got?
So the rankings came out Tuesday night, and the committee released their top 25. And just to go through really the top 10 teams, Alabama number one, not a surprise. Clemson number two, LSU three. So we got a battle of two of the top three here on Saturday. Notre Dame four, Michigan five, Georgia six, Oklahoma seven, Washington State at eight, Kentucky at nine, Ohio State at 10. So a whole bunch of 7-1 teams in there, 7-1 teams, three undefeateds, all of them in the top four. LSU ahead of undefeated Notre Dame. But it's going to be a very interesting couple weeks here because you're going to see a couple of these teams pick each other off. We've got Georgia going up against Kentucky, so two other top nine teams facing off. Washington State's got a big one this week at home. This is going to be a very, very interesting couple of weeks here to see how the playoff kind of, it sets itself up. I really find it hard to believe that Alabama will lose going into this postseason, but this is going to be the biggest test, I would think, with LSU here on Saturday night.
Right, and Michigan hosts Penn State, which is a couple of top 15 college football playoff teams. Who else have you had a chance to check out recently, Fran?
Yeah, we talked about West Virginia earlier, and I got a chance to study the two West Virginia tackles. Yadni Kajust, a left tackle. I think you watched him over the summer, Ross, if I'm not mistaken. And then Colton McKivitz at right tackle. Let's start with Kajust. And let me tell you, I'm excited to see this kid up close at some point because he's got pretty light feet. He's got an understanding of how to use his hands. He's naturally strong on contact. He does not give up much ground at all. And while he's not really a people mover in the run game, he's not really powerful. I think that there's plenty to work with there. Now, the knee's going to have to get checked out. He did miss an entire season and change there with knee injuries. And there are some technique things to work out as well. But I think Kajust has starting potential in the NFL. And then on the other side, McKivitz, I think he's got starting potential as well. I mean, he's 6'7", 300 pounds, seems to have pretty good length as well. More importantly, he knows how to use it. He's an explosive athlete for a 6'7" kid. He flies out of his stance with light feet. He's got smooth hips. He's got some pop to him. When he can lock those arms out, he can generate really good movement up front in the run game. With his lateral movement skills, I think he's got the feet to protect the corner. If he can just put on a little bit more weight, fill out that frame a little bit, I think he's going to be a starter in the NFL. So that's certainly something else that West Virginia's got going for them this year. You've got Will Grier, one of the top college quarterbacks in the country, a bevy of pass catchers, an active defense, and then those two bookend tackles. That's going to help them here down the stretch as they try and take the Big 12. Let's stay along the offensive line. I'm pretty close to finish with my evaluation of Mississippi State center Elkton Jenkins. And he's a pretty intriguing kid. He's a nimble athlete in a phone booth. He's not, you know, a great rangy guy that's going to get out in the perimeter, but he's got pretty light feet inside the tackle box, and he's a stout position blocker. It's kind of like Yadni Kajust, where he's not moving people up front in the run game, but he's not getting moved either. He does not give up any ground, both in the run game or the pass game. He's got starts at four of the five offensive line spots during his career, which will play to his favor next summer in training camp. I think I may actually like him a little bit better at guard, more so than center moving forward, but he certainly can be a swing backup at his very floor. And I think I see a solid starter as a ceiling, not a dominant player, but a nice starter with a little bit of upside there. One more offensive lineman, this time going back to the Big 12 with Oklahoma. Drew Samia is a four-year starter there for Lincoln Riley. And like Jenkins, he's had experience at multiple positions. He's been a three-year guy at right guard, started his career at right tackle for the Sooners. He's 6'4", 300 pounds, a natural athlete. He's really fluid out in space, can be used in a lot of different ways in the perimeter run game or in the screen game. He's that kind of athlete where you can do damage on the move. I like his mentality. He brings a level of toughness that you need down in the trenches. His lack of size will be an issue for some teams, so that will limit, you know, in terms of his draft placement, but he's kind of a mess with his hands as well, so there's some technique things he's got to work out. I do think he's got starting potential, especially for teams that want to leverage that athleticism, but he is a little bit of a project. I do think, though, that he's a draftable player in this class. And then we'll wrap up going on the other side of the ball at defensive tackle. The senior, Dontavius Russell from Auburn, defensive tackle. This kid has started all 4 years for the Tigers. He's 6'2", 323 pounds. Kind of a squatty frame. You can tell his arms are really short, and you know that shows up at times at the point of attack where he struggles getting off blocks. That is going to be a concern for a lot of teams. He's not a great athlete either, kind of a space eater on the inside. He's not going to be a big-time penetrator like a guy like Gerald Willis, who we talked about last week, but he does have some stoutness to him. He's still working in terms of using his hands to stay clean. So as long as offensive linemen can't lock in, I think he's okay, but once they lock in, he does struggle to get off blocks. I think he can fit in best as a backup defensive tackle, most likely as like a nose shade in a 4-3 team. So just an interesting group of linemen here as I continue to try and wrap up some evaluations, because the Shrine Game and Senior Bowl now, you know, like you said, we're in November. We're right around the corner here.
I love it. We're also just a couple days away from one of the best college football Saturdays of the year. Let's go head-to-head.
Head to head.
You said it already. Alabama, LSU, West Virginia, Texas, Georgia, Kentucky, Penn State, Michigan. Who are some of the quarterback matchups you're looking at?
Yeah, let's go to the Big 12 with Will Grier going up against Texas. And I'm not the biggest Will Grier fan. I think that there are a lot of issues with his game in terms of transitioning well to the NFL. I think he's, you know, mechanically in his lower half, I think there are some issues. But more importantly, his pocket awareness has been a concern for me. Takes a lot of bad sacks. And down in the red zone, he's had some issues with turnovers. So, you know, I think there are things here that he's got to work on moving forward. But a good test for him this week against this Texas defense, Todd Orlando. They've got talent at all three levels. We mentioned Chris Boyd earlier, the left corner there for the Longhorns. He's a talented player that I think has the potential to play on Sundays. Charles Omenihu is a guy we've talked about, a defensive end. So they've got talent at all three levels there. Good test for Will Grier in that West Virginia offense. Let's go to Northwestern and back into the Big Ten. You look at Clayton Thorson, big kid. He's got some tools to work with. He's been a little bit up and down this year, but I do think that there are tools to work with moving forward in the NFL. Good test for him this week with this Notre Dame defense. Jerry Tillery, Tavon Coney, Julian Love, Khalid Kareem, the defensive end, has kind of taken his game to the next level this year. 6'4", 265 pounds, really intriguing player. So Notre Dame just loaded with talent on defense. Good test for Thorson, one of the first games that evaluators will be watching of his this offseason. And then Drew Locke, it seems like every week we're talking about who is he matched up with. Another big test for for him in Mizzou this week for against Florida. You know, Ja'Kai Polite, the explosive edge rusher, Jabari Zuniga, another versatile defensive lineman. They've got talent at all three levels as well. So some good matchups here for some of the top quarterbacks in college football.
I like it. What about running backs? Your boy Damian Harris against LSU.
Yeah, this is a big one. And look, Harris, you know, has been relatively quiet. You know, Tua gets a lot of the praise, obviously, for good reason, in that Alabama passing game, all those young receivers. But, you know, you look at Damian Harris, one of my favorite running backs in the country, one of my favorite players in the country, especially in the senior class, going up against this LSU defensive front led by Devin White, the junior linebacker, a former running back himself, who a lot of people feel will be an early round pick, or I should say an early pick in this draft, you know, in the top half of round one, if he were to declare. So this is a big game for both of those guys, a really fun matchup. Then you look at Kentucky versus Georgia. Benny Snell is really the driving force of that Kentucky offense. If they can get him going, that can really spell good things for that team going up against this Georgia defense. We've talked a lot about that defensive line. But let's talk about Natrez Patrick, the senior linebacker in the middle of that defense, athletic kid. You know, he's had some off the field issues in the past, but he does have some tools that I think translate well to today's NFL. He's a little bit undersized, but this should be an interesting matchup for him against Kentucky in that running game. On the other side of the football, same game. You look at Georgia, you know, DeAndre Swift, Elijah Holyfield, kind of that thunder lightning combination for Georgia going up against this Kentucky front seven. And Jordan Jones is a guy at middle linebacker for Kentucky. He's undersized, but I like his instincts. He's competitive downhill. He can play in coverage as well. He's another guy I think is built for today's NFL. I think that he's got the ability to be a three down player in the National Football League. And then with the game that, you know, preseason, I think everybody would have been excited about this one. But with the way that the Seminoles have played, Florida State going up against NC State just doesn't seem like that sexy of a matchup. That being said, you know, NC State, they've got one of my favorite senior linebackers in the country in Jermaine Pratt. His first year as a starter, big physical kid, has the ability to play downhill and in reverse going up against this Florida State run game with Jacquez Patrick, the senior, a big physical ball carrier that can work between the tackles. And then Cam Akers, who, you know, we mentioned the thunder lightning combination with Georgia. I think, Florida State's got one of their own there because Cam Akers is a dynamic player out of the backfield.
All right, let's keep it moving and get to the next matchups that you're looking for. I like these positional matchups, wide receivers, tight ends versus DBs.
Yeah, let's go back to West Virginia and Texas. David Sills, the guy we just talked about from earlier in the show, good matchup here against Texas corner Chris Boyd. Certainly, I would say one of the best senior versus senior matchups. We'll see how much they do see each other. West Virginia is moving Sills around a little bit more than they have in years past. But Texas has been known to travel Chris Boyd at times as well. So very, very interested to see how the Texas defense and Todd Orlando kind of views this matchup, if they want him to shadow Sills or not. So that'll be interesting. Alabama, all those young receivers. I mean, Jerry Jeudy looks like a future stud. Henry Ruggs III, Jalen Waddle, just a really talented group of Alabama wideouts going up against LSU. I'm not sure who Greedy Williams is going to shadow, if he's going to just stick in one side and they'll play sides there, because it's a very talented LSU secondary, but very, very good matchup to watch here. Tua Tagovailoa is in for a big test here with this LSU secondary. Greedy Williams, obviously, one of the top corners in the country. And then staying in that SEC, you know, Georgia versus Kentucky. We talked about that Georgia receiving core earlier. Riley Ridley, Mecole Hardman, Demetrius Robertson, Jeremiah Holloman, and Isaac Nauta going up against this Kentucky secondary that really, we talked about in the summer. Remember when we talked about the SEC preview, Ross, and we had so many players for Kentucky that we talked about, and it was for this reason. That's why they're one of the best teams in football this year, is because you look at this secondary. Derek Beatty is one of the best corners in the country in the senior class. Lonnie Johnson, a big, long, athletic kid with a ton of upside. Mike Edwards is one of my favorite senior safeties. I think he can fit in either as a free safety or as a nickel guy in the next level. Chris Westry as well has a little bit of a corner background, but more it transitions more to safety moving forward. This is going to be a really fun group here. I'm excited to see how this matchup kind of pans out, Georgia versus Kentucky.
I just love how many good games we have this weekend, and we're not even talking about the biggest game of them all, Princeton against Dartmouth. Both teams, Fran, undefeated. There's only like, I don't know, five or six Division I teams that are undefeated. There's no conference that has two undefeated other than the Ivy League. Princeton, Dartmouth, both ranked, both 7-0. Both, by the way, have pro prospects. Princeton has a couple. Their quarterback, John Lovett, will really end up being a like an H-back Kyle Juszczyk type at the next level. And they got a receiver in Jesper Horsted who's really, really good. I mean, some people think he's better even than Justin Watson, who went in the fifth round of the Bucks last year out of Penn. I'm not sure I feel that way, but he's good. I mean, he's on the Senior Bowl watch list and all those things. Dartmouth has a lot of big kids on both sides of the ball and a good secondary as well. Speaking of big kids on both sides of the ball, what do you have, Fran, on the O-line, D-line?
Yeah, when Alabama and LSU meet, you know that there's going to be talented linemen in the game, and that's certainly going to be the case this week. We'll look at this Alabama offensive front. Jonah Williams at left tackle, Ross Pierschbacher at center, Lester Cotton at right guard. Going up against this LSU defensive line, and Rashad Lawrence, one of the best defensive tackles in the country, a really physical kid. He's more of a space eater, not necessarily a one-gap penetrator. But it's going to be an interesting matchup. I would imagine he'll see most of Jonah Williams and then also the left guard for Alabama. But it will be a very interesting battle to watch there as they try and keep Tua clean and open up holes here for Damian Harris. And then let's go up to the Big Ten. You know, Penn State taking on Michigan. You mentioned it. Ryan Bates is a guy that I've watched in the past. Good matchup here against Michigan and that defensive line. Chase Winovich, the senior, a high motor kid. You know, Rashawn Gary's status kind of up in the air, but certainly a matchup to watch. You go to the ACC. Chris Lindstrom at right guard for Boston College was just really on a tear. I was watching a little bit of their game on Friday night, and the guy was really, really standing out, even on TV, which was kind of interesting to watch. And Virginia Tech, they've got a good defensive tackle, a senior, Ricky Walker. You know, there's some flaws with his game, but certainly one of the top seniors in the country. And then you go to NC State going up against Florida State again. Tyler Jones is a guy that a lot of people were pretty intrigued by at tackle coming into this game or coming into this season. He's the left tackle going up against Brian Burns, one of the top pass rushers in football, an explosive, twitched up kid, a little bit undersized, but has been very, very productive this year, has stood out even though Florida State has really struggled over the course of this season. I expect Burns to have a nice game here again this week against NC State. And then one last one, Kansas State taking on TCU. Dalton Risner at right tackle going up against TCU defensive end Ben Bonegal. Not the biggest fan of Risner. I do think he's more of an interior guy, but good matchup here against TCU.
Speaking of productive, I have not been as productive on the Even Money podcast this year so far as I was last year. Maybe I need to start giving out some bets for college football. At any rate, that is the place, betonline.ag, for you guys to place your bets using the promo code podcast1 so that you get a 50% sign-up bonus. Think about how glorious this Saturday is already going to be with the different college football matchups at every time slot. And now, and by the way, you can even watch me Friday night, Penn Cornell on ESPNU at 6 p.m. I'll be calling that one. I don't really think that there are. I'm not done with my preparation yet, but I wouldn't say that there are very many, if any, pro prospects in that one. But you can still see your boy on TV, and you can still see all the other games on Saturday, and go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts, exclusive partner of the Podcast One Sportsnet. And I actually won this week. So I've got $500 I can give out to different listeners. Make sure if you haven't yet, go to betonline.ag, use the promo code podcast1 so that you are eligible to get $100. I'm giving $100 out to five different listeners. And I'm giving out another free Madden this week. All you need to do is rate and review all five of our shows on Apple Podcasts that we got for you. It won't even take very long. And you can see all the podcasts at rostucker.com. Rate and review all of them. Send me a screenshot. Friday I'll announce the winner. Other than that, make sure you're checking out everything Fran does at fduffy3 on Twitter. He posts it all. It's amazing. I'm at RossTuckerNFL on Twitter and Instagram as well. We'll be back to wrap up all of these awesome matchups next week and get you ready for week 11. Other than that, for right now, the keg is kicked and we are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.